The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry, came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Famous song from the Rolling Stones that has the refrain, "You can't always get what you want, but if you try, you just might find you get what you need." Got to be honest, growing up and for most of my life, I kind of hated that song. Because I always thought, well, like, sure, it might be better if I don't get what I want, but there's a reason that I want it. And even just saying that maybe something better is coming, it still doesn't mean that I didn't want the thing that I wanted before. So how is it supposed to be better if I get what I need? Am I just supposed to ignore my desires or the things that I see as good? Or are they taking me far away from what God wants me to do? But I think in a Christian understanding, it's not that what we desire or what we want is bad, but just that our desires can actually prevent us from receiving what God desires to give us, the way he wants to lead us and actually soften our hearts. So I think when we hear the well-known refrain from the responsorial psalm today, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts," we think, of course, I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to have a stony heart that's not able to listen to God, that's not able to receive the love from others or the love that he wants to give me. And I think if we're also honest with ourselves, we can notice times that we do have hard hearts. And we do have times where we're not able or willing to love the person around us in need. At times, for whatever reason, we're not very patient or understanding of our family or of our loved ones. And it's usually not just because we woke up one day and just decided, "Hey, I'm going to kind of be mean today, and I hope everybody else can deal with it." Maybe that happens occasionally, but hopefully not that often. Usually, I think the reason that our hearts get hardened is because we're so focused on what we want. That we're driven by our desires, sometimes that are bad, sometimes that are just fine and good. We're so focused on what we want that we're not able to receive anything else around us. We're not able actually to live in that presence of the Holy Spirit, to have soft hearts that are able to respond to him. So I think we should have that desire to change those stony hearts, to not be so focused on our own desires, but instead be free to follow where God leads us. In some ways, I think that's the authority that Jesus speaks with in today's gospel. That we hear that the crowds were amazed that he spoke with authority, and we might assume that's because he was doing miracles, he was driving out demons in ways that the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't. And that there was a visible way they could tell that his preaching had authority. But if you listen closely, you noticed before Jesus does anything or performs a miracle in today's gospel, even before that, just by his teaching and preaching, they were astonished because he taught them as one having authority. Use this image of a hard heart, or to use the thought of our own desires leading us. I think when they heard Jesus, they knew he was preaching something that wasn't necessarily beneficial to him. wasn't just coming saying, well, I think this is the best way for you to live, or this is what I think you all should do because I know better than you. Instead, there was a humility to Jesus' preaching that showed he was receiving this from another. But his heart wasn't so hard that it was just his words, but actually it was the words of his heavenly Father coming through him. He was free to have a soft heart, not to preach on his own behalf, but free to preach as God needed him to. And because he was free to do so, the people heard him in a way that was authoritative, that they knew he wasn't just doing to get something out of them or to do something that would benefit himself. Instead, his preaching was different. And they saw how it changed the world around him by driving out this man that was possessed by a demon. How is it that we can have that same authority? How is it that we can be free enough to live like Jesus did? Do you think that's what St. Paul is trying to lead the early church in and trying to teach us in the second reading? He talks about this difference between a married man and an unmarried man, or an unmarried woman and a married woman. That at first he says, I should like you to be free of anxieties. I would hope all of us agree with. We're like, great, Paul. If you could give me the roadmap to the no anxieties and worries, I'll follow you. And then it almost sounds like he says, well, it's better to be unmarried because you don't have to worry about all that pesky worldly stuff. You don't got to worry about bills. You don't got to worry about when we're going to be at work or getting kids from here to there. But I don't think that's actually what Paul is getting at to free us from anxiety. Because both people are anxious, but he says the married man is anxious about the things of the world, and he is divided. He's divided not because either of those things are bad. It's good for him to care for his family and his wife. It's good for him to want to be open to do the will of God and to love others. But it's really hard to do both. It's really hard to know which side I should be on when something happens in my life. The unmarried man instead can be free to always seek to do the things of the Lord. I would say do the things for others. But like Jesus, the unmarried person is free not to speak on their own behalf, to need to get things for themselves, but instead to be willing to give away and be divested of everything in this world. Actually reminds me of a story I heard about one of the Sisters of Life. Sisters of Life are pretty large religious community of sisters. They take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience that all religious take, but they also take a vow to protect all human life, especially those who are vulnerable. They do a lot of work with crisis pregnancies and young women that aren't sure how to bring their child to term or what to do with them if they do give birth to them. They work with the elderly and those who are poor or sick that may have no one else to stand up for them or to care for them. There's a story of this Sister of Life that went into a doctor's appointment with a young pregnant woman, and the woman was so surprised with how differently the doctor interacted with her just when the sister was there in the room with her. The sister didn't say anything. The sister didn't have any medical expertise or be able to work any magic or really do anything more than just be there. And yet by her very presence, the woman noticed that the doctor treated her differently, wanted to share more information, wanted to be more receptive to what she said. I don't think that's to say anything malicious about the doctor or anything miraculous about this particular sister. I think it points to the fact that by her presence, there as a bride of Christ, free of the cares of the world, she was able to be there in a way that the doctor knew that sister was there for the mother. She was there to listen and to help the mother in whatever way that she could, but she wasn't there for herself. She wasn't getting anything out of it. Because of that, there was a certain sense of authority. There was a certain weight to her presence in that room. Again, not because of anything she was doing, but she was free to do things on behalf of someone else. Not to have a hard, stony heart that was focused on her own desires or what she would get out of it, but actually to be like Christ and to do things for others. To do things for that mother and her child on that day. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the kind of authority that Christ wants to invite all of us to have. That we can actually have those soft hearts that are free enough of the things of the world to always be ready to do things for others. Not just to think about what we want or what we'll get out of something, but instead to see how we can bring God's love into the world in those moments. So what is it that keeps us so attached to our desires and our wants? Why is it so hard for us to not have these hard hearts and to act with that authority and freedom that Jesus has? It's actually right in the midst of this healing that Jesus does in the gospel. That before he drives out the demon says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Brothers and sisters, I think oftentimes in our own desires, the things that we want, there's a little bit of that thought when Jesus tells us that we can't have it. When he says that, "Oh, I'm going to take this away," or "That's a good thing that you desire, but we can't have it right now." I think there's a little bit of a fear in our own hearts that Jesus has come to destroy us. That if we can't have the direction of our lives or go where we want to go, that means that God just wants to change us or make us into something that we don't want to be. I think that's actually what keeps us from that freedom that Christ wants to give us. Instead, we have to realize that Jesus came not just to leave us like we are. He did come to change us, but not to destroy us. He actually came to make us into a new creation. Something that not only leads to eternal life with him in heaven, but that it can actually change the world around us. It actually can live in that freedom and authority that Jesus himself shows us. Brothers and sisters, let us not be led by that fear or to be guided by simply our own desires. Not just to be focused on the things that we want out of a day or out of a moment, so that we become hardened to the word of God. Instead, let us seek to have that freedom and authority that he shows us. That we can do things not just for ourselves, but out of love for our neighbor and out of obedience to our Father. And in that way, we can start to be the saints he calls us to be. Speaking with authority and loving others as Christ has loved us. Not with conditions and reservations, not only when it benefits us or fits in with our desires, but loving at all times and without fear and without worry of the cost.